all wars are resource wars, bar none. The whole story of the future is a story of resources. China is clearly in on this, and they understand that resources are everything. I think the United States has very poorly positioned itself for this. So poorly, I have to wonder if we aren't intentionally being destroyed. There's a whole thing going on at what I'll call the retail level that says, oh no, you shouldn't prepare. And then we sort of like look at Mark Zuckerberg preparing. I guess that's rich person's things. We're told to sideline ourselves. We would say, oh, it's terrible that FEMA didn't have cots and hots for the last crisis. They should have prepared. No, you should have prepared.
There's that whole idea that, well, all wars are resource wars. What is your understanding of all that?
This is the $64,000 question. All wars are resource wars, bar none, right? And even when they were so-called religious wars, that was a form of power, which is a resource. So China is clearly in on this, and they understand that resources are everything. And they have a whole plan, and they're doing all this. They have the Belt and Road Initiative, which we know is going across Asia, but they have a similar one unfolding right now in South America. When we talk about Venezuela, obviously the United States is showing up there, not because we suddenly care about drug cartels or socialism is bad, because Venezuela in the Orinoco Belt is sitting on the second largest known proven reserves of oil in the world. So that's why the boats show up there. There's people dying in Sudan and Chad and other places. Boats don't show up there. You know why? They don't really have anything. Mm-hmm. If you want to understand the history of wars, whenever a pipeline goes in, usually there's a war within a few years right afterwards. Surprise, right? Because that is the ultimate form of power. So Russia had been doing something very, very terrible. They had been resisting this idea of the WEF and this global domination, and they didn't want anything to do with LGBTQ+, and they didn't want anything to do with all of this craziness that they saw that were sort of the culture wars, right? You know, were being undermined at the individual family level, at the nation level. You don't even have a border. You're not allowed to have national identity. You're supposed to have this white guilt. There's all this stuff that was sort of being run as a program. And Russia said no. And wouldn't you know it, that's a sin, right? It's just like when Gaddafi said, hey, you know what? We should make a gold-backed dinar. Yeah, that was a death sentence right there, because that was intolerable to under Sarkozy. The French had, even though they're under the euro system, their franc was still, French franc was still running in Algeria and all across North Africa, and was about to get destroyed. So Gaddafi got destroyed. If you want to understand geopolitics, you have to understand oil, you have to understand natural gas, you have to understand base resources. That's the whole story. So yes, Russia had to be sort of broken in that regard, but what happened instead was it turned out they have a very durable economy. Remember, they were supposed to get crushed, and actually they're doing better than ever. And they figured out how to ramp up their military manufacturing way beyond our own capabilities in the West. And then, of course, they forged deeper and closer alliances and relationship with China, who has just put their hand up and said, yeah, you can run pipelines here all day long. We love that. So I think what the neocons had envisioned in terms of like marginalizing, isolating, then ultimately destroying Russia so that our companies could come in and take its resources, that backfired. Almost everything the neocons do breaks and doesn't work out at all like they thought. It's just, and they don't learn from that ever. So everything I'm seeing going on geopolitically is just a story of resources at this point, right? So the United States exfils from Afghanistan under the most embarrassing possible of circumstances in the most clumsy, inept possible way, using Kabul airport instead of Bagram, just terrible, leaving all this military hardware behind. That wasn't the real story. The real story was 2 weeks later, Kabul was a safer city than Baltimore, and China's inking deals left, right, and center for copper deposits, lithium, you name it, right? The whole story of the future is a story of resources, particularly energy resources, but some other ones too. And I think the United States has very poorly positioned itself for this. So poorly, I have to wonder if we aren't intentionally being destroyed, but that's a second conversation. Geopolitics, you have to understand things like Strait of Hormuz, the Strait of Malacca, where are pipelines going? And that gets you pretty close to understanding where the next conflicts are going to be and why.
So what can people do to, in your opinion, prepare and position themselves either financially or at the home in terms of building out self-reliance systems?
Well, this is why I do what I do. I believe that context and education, first off, you have to know what's going on. Like, if you don't understand the game that's being played, you're not going to have any chance of participating in that game meaningfully, let alone winning it. The second thing you have to do is find what's preventing you from taking action, because a lot of people know this stuff and they're nervous, but they don't do anything. That's most people. I don't get it, right? Because to me, if I have even a slight concern that, say, trucks would stop rolling and food might become in limited supply, well, I can just very quickly and easily order some freeze-dried food, and then that concern is gone, freeing up my mind for other things like having fun and building my business or whatever I'm up to. So the second thing people have to understand is not what they need to do, but I hate to start it here, but it's like, why aren't you going to do what you already know you should do? And usually it's because their friends aren't doing it yet, but I think there we have to understand what's over your other shoulder, which is we're under that cognitive warfare, right? Where we're told to sideline ourselves. We're told that it's stupid to look for yourself and read a package insert on a medical product or to store food. Like, there's a whole thing going on at what I'll call the retail level that says, "Oh no, you shouldn't prepare." And then we sort of like go, "Oh, but isn't it? Look at Mark Zuckerberg preparing. Ha ha, I guess that's rich person's things they're doing over there." Like, it's okay for a company or a government or a rich person to plan ahead. In fact, we would say, "Oh, it's terrible that FEMA didn't have cots and HOTS for the last crisis. They should have prepared." No, you should have prepared as well, right? I mean, it's crazy. We have like these dual standards, like what's okay for them is not okay for the little
Yeah,
people.
they want retail to invest in the stock market instead, in these overvalued stocks, instead of putting that money into building the system.
And you shouldn't be at all responsible for your self-defense. Like, we're watching this horrible stuff in the UK where the person who's defending themselves goes to prison, not the person doing the attacking, right? Which again is just a message for retail, which is you need to be completely dependent on us. And if we decide to screw you, your job is to sit back and take that. So that's kind of the story. But then the third thing is you have to figure out where the puck is going, and with AI, the puck may magically reappear out in the parking lot. It's like it's very hard to predict where this is going to go, but some things are pretty clear. We know that we're printing too much money, and there's nothing we can do about that. We know that we have some fragile, very long chain global distribution systems that could break at some point. We know that we're going to have to reshore a lot of that manufacturing or make do without in some cases. We know that real tangible things never lose their value. And so a lot of what I counsel people to do is I want people to have financial freedom first and foremost, right? And if you have just a paycheck, you have one income stream, obviously you're highly exposed, and that allowed people to be leveraged into needing to take the shots, which wasn't a good decision for a lot of folks, right? And they didn't want to make that decision, but they were coerced and they had to, right? So financial freedom is kind of the very first thing. And so there it's just like, hey, build up savings if that's the starting point, find multiple income streams. Just be aware that inflation is coming and it's going to be a lot hotter than anybody expects. And some of that's going to be driven by price, supply, demand increases because we just forgot to drill more oil, or maybe we shouldn't let data centers consume 8% of total electricity demand, et cetera. Those kinds of things, if people aren't prepared for them, they don't know how to be positioned for those just end up grinding you down. So I think people should obviously have as much financial buffer as they can. And
Would
then,
you say that general commodities are a relatively safe play at this stage in the game, be it oil, copper, silver, gold?
oh yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm irresponsibly long gold and silver, have been for a while, and I'm getting irresponsibly long in all things commodities related, because I'm convinced that there's just a lot of printing coming at some point here in the future, and there's not a lot we can do about that. So it's just what the math says at this stage. So yeah, those are good areas to be in, and then of course anything you can do. Like, I ended most of my COVID coverage pieces with plant a garden, right? Which is speaking on a couple of levels. A, I happen to think our food system is poison. So to the extent people can grow their own high quality, nutrient dense foods, you know, without a lot of pesticides and other GMO inputs, great. But also there's a chance, the small chance that someday, you know, we may be more reliant on our own locally grown food than we'd like, but it could happen. And so, of course, having some experience at that is better than having no experience with that.
Yeah.
And then the third level to that whole plant to garden thing is it starts to snip the ties of dependence on the larger system to become more self-reliant. And I think that's a good process to get started for anybody, even if it's just a plant on the windowsill, anything, to begin reclaiming your sovereignty as a person who's responsible for your own future.